Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Chof Hem and Bet. Again, we did a sugya yesterday. We started at the sugya yesterday. We're just going to repeat it quickly so that we can get back into it. So, Amar Mar, at the bottom of Chof Hem and Bet. Amar Mar, Lacha, Hibin Nozir. We have a Lacha, Moshe Mitzinai, that by Nozir, when you have Ma'ot Stumim, when you have money that is unidentified, meaning that it was not designated for any particular karban, and it was left over from the Zirut, that we take all that money, it goes Alat Nedavat, goes to Olot, voluntary Olot that go on the Mizbeach. The two lekos. The Gemara says, is that really true? Is this a unique halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai, which only has application by Nazir, it doesn't have broader application? But on you, we have a price of a shar chai v'ikin in Shibat Torah, in other instances where someone has chayv to bring a pair of birds, in cases like a yoledet, a mitzorat, or a Nazir Tmeah. So in Tamei, Nazir Tamei, in all these cases, a person is obligated to bring a chatat and olah from two birds. So these two birds that they are bringing, what happens? Yifrishu ma'ot l'kinehem. They already separated out the money to bring these karbanot. Ratzah l'havi behen chatat behema yavi. Olat behema yavi. Then he can go ahead, they can bring, if they want to use the money to bring a chatat behema or a olat behema, they can. So now, what's the case over here? Here we're talking about birds, and then it switched over to animals. So this is the case where we're talking about karbanot olo olevi yoreid. A karbanot olevi yoreid, in these instances, the korban actually is sensitive to your economic status. Depending on what your economic status is, you bring a larger or smaller karban. So one of the forms of the karbanot are birds. What happens if this individual has already separated out money to pay for their birds for their karbanot? Then they became wealthier, and now they want to bring a larger karban or a karban that comes out of animals. So they can apply the money that was already separated out for the kinyan. They can bring with that money, they can bring with that a chatat mehema or an olat behema. They can apply it, the money that they separated out to the birds, they can apply it to one of the two animal karbanot that they're going to bring, the olah or the behema. So here I'll just point out again, this we mentioned yesterday, that Tosos says that there's actually a difference between when a person says that this money is for nezirutai, this money is for my nezirut, versus when a person says that the money is for karbanot nezirutai, for the karbanot of my nezirut. When a person says that this money is for my nezirutai, it's be used for my nezirut, then in the end, the person can use this money for anything related to his nezirut. That means that he can use it. There are three karbanot normally brought at the end of his nezirut, the olah, the chatat, and the shlamim. In that instance, he doesn't have to use the money for all three of them. He can even use that money for one of them. Because when he says nezirutai, it just means that I will use it for what I need, my needs at the end of my nezirut. But that's not true when a person says karbanot nezirutai. If a person says I'm going to use this for the karbanot of my nezirut, in that instance we say it means literally all three karbanot, and he must divide the money up between the three karbanot. So you have to suggest over here, Tosis points out once again over here, that this case is a case where the person says that he is going to be mafrish these animals for his mitzorat, for his tzorat, or he's being mafrish them for the yoledet, but not for the karbanot yoledet, the karbanot mitzorat, because in this instance we're allowing him to apply all the money either to the behema or all the money to the chatat. Now, mate, now, if he passes away and he had unidentified money or undesignated money that was supposed to be used for his kinim, for his birds, yiplu the nidava. They will go and be used for the nidava, olat nidava. So here we see a case by these cases of birds, right, where these kantiporim, that a person separates out, and when he doesn't use them, he has money that's separated out to pay for them, and he doesn't use that money. In that instance, against his way, he dies, for instance, or other cases where he wouldn't use the money, then that money falls to the Nidavah. So it's similar to what happens by a Nazir. So the Gemara answers up, Tanah b'Nazir v'chai v'kinim d'damuleh. That when we say the halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai, it's not just applicable to Nazir, but it's also applicable to Nazir and all chai v'kinim that are similar to it. So what does it mean that it's similar to it? So we gave two explanations yesterday. One explanation is that just in Nazir, you also have a bird offering, that's when the Nazir becomes Tamei, and therefore the Damilei, other bird offerings that are similar to that of the Nazir. But the more plausible explanation, that is which we saw in the Tosafot yesterday, is that it's the Damilei that you have a single obligation that generates multiple karbanot. So here, again, by Nazir, the Nazir is one Nazir, he took on one Ned in Nazirut, and yet at the end of Nazirut, he brings three karbanot. Those three karbanot are generated by the single obligation of Nazir. Same thing with the Yoledet or a Mitzorah. At the end of their term, when they come to bring their karbanot in Mikdash, they have to bring an Olah and a Chatat. Those Olot and Chataot are derived from the single obligation of the Yoledet or the Mitzorah. So you have two karbanot that come from a single obligation. So That's why it's Nazir, and those which are similar to it. La Fuke, and what would that come to exclude? Now this term La Fuke can be read one of two ways. The next part of the Gemara is coming up Braisa, which is different than what we have in our Lach of the Moshe Mitzinai. So one of two possibilities. Either we say La Fuke comes to excludes this case, because this case is not similar to the Lach of Moshe Mitzinai, or you can say that it excludes this case because this Braisa argues on what the conclusion of our Mishnah and our Gemara is. So the easier way, or the simple way to read it, is that simply this is a case that's not applicable by us, and that's how most of the Rishonim learn. The Rosh brings down a Rabbeinu Tam here, who says that the afuke here, the exclusion here, means that the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and this Braisa actually argue, and that they disagree about the conclusion here. We'll see, at this point in the Gemara, it doesn't really relevant, or why would you think Rabbeinu Tam does it, but later on in the Gemara, we're going to see why it might be a better explanation. So right now, the afuke, Mehadetanya, this comes to exclude a case of the Braisa, Misha Yamchuyav Chatat, someone who was obligated to bring a Chatat. Bamar Haray Alayola. So in addition to the obligation of bringing a Chatat, he then obligates himself to voluntarily offers to bring an Ola at the same time. So now he has an obligation to bring an Ola and a Chatat. Now the obligation is generated by him and not by any Aveira or anything else that he's done. Doesn't it generate the Ola, but he has a Chatat that he's obligated to bring. Now he adds an Ola to that. Behi frish ma'ot. Then he separates out money. Bamar harei elu l'chovati. These are for my obligation. Now my obligation here means anything I'm obligated to bring as a karban. What am I obligated to bring as a karban here? That's a chatat and ola. So now we have money in a pool, right? This pool of money that now is going to be used both for a chatat and ola, which is very similar to the cases of the birds that we brought above, where you have money that is a pot of money that's going to be used both for a chatat and ola. Yet, what's the conclusion of this brayso here? Rots lavi ben chatat behima lo yavi. If he wants to use this money to bring just a chatat with it, he may not. Olat behima lo yavi. If he wants to bring it with the money and olat beima, he may not bring an ola with it. Why? Because he designated the money both for the chatat and the ola, and therefore he can't bring it singly for the chatat or the ola. Now what's the problem with that? Now the issue with this is what Tosfos said above. Tosfos said above that when you say karbanot nezirutai, then the pot of money must be used for all the karbanot. But if I simply say this is for my nezirut, right? If I simply say this is good for my nezirut, then I'm allowed to bring even a single karban of my nezirut for that pot of money. And then if I have a pot of money that I can use both for an ola, shlamim, and chatat, if I say karbanot nezirutai, I must use that money to pay for all three items, the ola, the chatat, and the shlamim, or go towards at least those three items. Whereas if I say it's the nezirutai, and I want to take all that money and apply it to my shlamim, I can do that. So here in this case, he uses the term chovatai. Chovatai should be like nezirutai. If it's like nezirutai, then why can't he bring just the ola with this money? And why can't he bring just the chatat with this money? So Tosfos over here has to explain that the word chovotai means, what over here? It means chovotai means my karbanot chovoti. And when a person uses the term chovotai, it's not like saying nezirutai, but it's more like saying karbanot chovotai. And since it's like karbanot chovotai, therefore he must use the money for all the karbanot that are encompassed by the pot of money that he's putting together. So that's why the braisa concluded that he can't bring just a chatat within, he can't bring a ola. Now the part that's relevant to our Gemara here, mate, he passes away. Bayulo ma'ot stumim. Then he had money that was identified. This is the same, our case here. Yelchu le'Yam HaMelech. They end up going to Yam HaMelech. Why do they go to Yam HaMelech? So now, according to the way the most Rishonim learn here, this Braisa is different than our case by the Lach of the Moshe Mitzinai. By the case of the Lach of the Moshe Mitzinai, we have multiple karbanot that derive from a single obligation. So since these are multiple karbanot that derive from a single obligation, therefore, when you have a pot of money that belongs to all the karbanot, the Lach of Moshe Mitzinai says, bring them all, bring that money, and use it for olat netava. In our case over here in the Braisa has multiple karbanot, but they don't derive from a single obligation. The chatat is derived from an aveira that he has to bring the chatat for, and the olah is because he took a neder to bring an olah. He obligated himself to bring an olah. So you have two karbanot, but these karbanot derive from two obligations. And since that's the case, they're not included or not incorporated in the Lach of Moshe Mitzinai. And therefore, what are you going to do with this pot of money? Now you have money that's mixed up of an olah and a chatat. And what's the status of money of a chatat? The money of a chatat goes, le'yam ha'melach, gets thrown out. So therefore, we have to throw out all the money here because we have a suffix in all the money that what belongs to the chatat. Therefore, the money will go to the yam ha'melach as opposed to going to olah. So that's the way most of you should learn this braisa. And that, again, will be the simple point of differentiation is how do you get these multiple carbon notes? Is it through a single obligation or through multiple obligations? Now, on the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam learns that this Bryce is actually arguing on our Mishnah. Here's a case where we have multiple carbonot, and yet, what's the conclusion here? You have Chatas and Olam mixed together, and the conclusion of the Bryce is that it goes to Yam HaMelech, as opposed to our Mishnah, as opposed to Lach L'Moshe Misinai, which teaches us, no, that it goes Lo Lat Dava. So this Bryce is actually arguing on our Mishnah, and that's what it means, Lafuke. Lafuke means this comes to teach us our Lach L'Moshe Misinai, and our Mishnah comes to teach us not like this Bryce. So we don't hold that when there's Chatas mixed up in it, it goes to Yam HaMelech. We have Chatas mixed in it, it goes on the Olat Mizbeach as an Olat Nidava, and that will be the difference between our Mishnah and the Halacha Moshe Sinai and this Braisa. Again, the other Rishon learned that this is, the Braisa is Lafuke, the Braisa, because the Braisa is actually a different case. It's not a case that will fall under the Halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, now, the Gemara continues. Now we're going to take this Halacha Moshe Sinai, we're going to have three Amoraim speak about this Halacha Moshe Sinai. And when they speak about this Halacha Moshe Sinai, they're going to actually redefine or narrow or expand the definition of the Halacha Moshe Sinai. So here we're going to start with Rav Ashi. So Amar Rav Ashi, Hada Amart Mefurashin. When you say, what's the difference between money that is designated for the particular karbanot versus stumim, which is that it's a pot of money but doesn't have the karbanot that it's designated for specifically. So we said the din was when it's mefurashim, that each one of the karbanot has to be dealt with individually. The money for the chatas goes to the Yam HaMelech. The money for the olah gets used to bring an olah, and the money for the shlamim gets used to bring a shlamim that's like the shalmei nazir. Or if they're actually animals, then the chatat is meita, and the olah and shlamim are brought on the mizbeach. Whereas if it's stumim, in a case where the money was unidentified or was not designated for a specific karban, we said then all the money goes towards olat nedava. So Rashi says that distinction between mefurashim and stumim. So the moment we say mefurashim, you don't bring it as an olat nedava, you divide it up and use it for each karban. Lo tema d'amar elu l'chatati, ve'elu olati, ve'elu l'shalmi. It's not when he sent the money and he went ahead and divided the pots of the money up and said, this part of the money is for my chatas, this part's for my olah, and this part's for my shlamim. Elu amar elu l'chatati, olati, l'shalmi. Even if he didn't say each specific pot of money is for this, but if he looks at the whole pot and says, this is for my three karbanot, and he mentions the three karbanot separately, that's already considered a mefurashim. That's the equivalent of being mefurash. Satum is only when he says karbanot nizirutai. When he just says the generic term karbanot, then the money will be considered satum, and that money then will be allowed to be used for lat nedava. Whereas if he already specifies the names of the karbanot, even though he didn't designate the exact money which will go for each karban, that's already considered mefurash, and therefore we'll have to deal with the money, again, each karban according to its need. Chatat goes liyam hamelach, olah and shlamim end up in his beach. Each one has an olah and one has a shlamim. Be'ikad amri. Some that say, amar ravash, lo tema demar elu l'chatati olah tiyo l'shalmi. That's not considered, that is mefurash. When you identify each of the karbanot, that's mefurash. Ela filo amar elu l'chovati, harihen ki mefurashin. If he just says, these are for my obligation, it's the equivalent of saying that they are for each of the karbanot. So over here, this is where we run into a little problem, because according to Tosfot above, he said, when you said chovati, right, this is what we saw in the Braisa above, when you said the word chovati, it meant for my karbanot, but that was still considered, right, ma'ot stumim. The Braisa over there said that when you said elo l'chovati, right, for my obligation for the olah and the chatat in the Braisa, we said that was considered ma'ot stumim, ma'ot that was not designated or identified. And here Rav Ashi's come along and say that when you use the term chovati, then it's equivalent of mefurashim. So the Tosas gives two answers here. One answer about what the difference is, it's actually according to the Rabbeinu Tam. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam above said that Braisa argues on our Mishnah. That Braisa is not relevant, because we don't hold like that Braisa. That Braisa argues on our Mishnah, and our Mishnah feels differently about what is considered Ma'ot Stumim and Ma'ot Mefurashim. And our Braisa, our Mishnah differentiates what we do with Ma'ot Stumim versus what the Braisa does. So therefore, it's no big deal now that Rav Ashi is going to argue on the Braisa, because that's exactly what the Gemara said. Lafuke mihayda tanya. That this Braisa is not what we want to learn from the Halacha Moshe Sinai. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learned. But the rest of the Rishonim will learn that Braisa is relevant. It's just not included under the Halacha Moshe Sinai because it's a different case. How come over there when he used the term chovatai, right, then, or chovati, when he said these are for my obligation, why over there do we say that's considered ma'ot stumim? And over here, Rav Ashi is saying that chovati means mitburashim. So two possibilities. One, again, is that you have two lashonot in Rav Ashi. So the second lashon may not, maybe that's why the first lashon did not agree with the second lashon. Or the other possibility is a little bit of a weak answer, but the Tosfos gives that the Chobati in these two instances are different based on the context. In the context above, when he was talking about the Chatan and Lelah, when he says Chobati, it's clear he's talking about the Karbanot, because that's his only obligation here. His only obligation is to bring the Karbanot. Whereas by the, and therefore, we were going to say that the Chobati up above in the Braisa means I'm bringing these for the Karbanot, but not for specific Karbanot, just the generic, my obligations over here, because he has multiple obligations. Whereas by the case of Nizirut, there is only a single obligation. So when he says Chobati, when he uses that extra Lashon of Chobati, it must mean that he's come to say more than my obligation here. He's trying to say my obligation, meaning each of the Karbanot. And therefore, the definition of Chobati in the case of Rav Ashi is going to be different than it was in the Braisa. In the Braisa, Chobati was talking about multiple obligations, and was talking about, you know, generic Karbanot. And there we say Chobati means just my motz to me, it means money towards my Karbanot in general. Whereas here, Rav Ashi is going to say Chobati is a more specific statement, because there is only one obligation to bring the Karbanot Nazir. So since he used the term Chobati, his obligation is to bring the three Karbanot, and here it will be defined as meaning the three Karbanot. Okay, now the second Amora, that was Rav Ashi, was the first Amora who now helped us with the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and he defined what is considered Stumim and Mufurashim for the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Now we move on to Rava. Amar Rava, Hadamar Mot Stumim Yiplu Nindava. That when we say that the Ma'ot Stumim, when you have undesignated or unidentified money, that it goes in the Va, now that's only true if the Chatas is mixed up in it. That's what he says, Enough let's make Chatas be Menehem. If the money for the Chatas is taken out of them, Harihan can be Purashim. They are the equivalent of being designated. Alright, I'll explain Rava after we read the Braisa, because we have a Braisa that supports Rava's position. Tanya Kabasa de Rava. We have a Braisa that goes like Rava. Ebu Lechatati Vashar, the Shar in Zero Tide. If a person goes ahead and separates out money, he says, say, for instance, he has 300 shekel, takes 100 shekel, and he says, that 100 shekel is for my chatat. Then he takes the other 200 shekel and says, that'll take care of the rest of my nizirut. What's left over for his nizirut? There's an ola and a shlamim. That means a 200 shekel pot is for the ola and shlamim, not identified which is which, but he identified for the 100 shekel the chatat. Then if he passes away, or if there's no need for the ma'ot for this nizirut, then the money for the chatat goes to the Yam HaMelech, v'hashar, and the remaining money, yevi chetzio le'ola, v'chetzio le'shlamim. The remaining money must divide up between the ola and the shlamim. Why? U'ma'ulim v'kulan. And there is mi'ila on, if you use all the money, or at least rove of the money, then you have mi'ila, but you don't, if you only use a portion of the money, then there's not mi'ila. Why is that? Because an ola has an isur mi'ila, that you're not allowed to get benefit from a carbon ola even before it reaches the mizbeach. Whereas by shlamim, a shlamim does not have an isur mi'ila of getting hana from it until the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, and then there are portions of the animal that belong to the kodesh, that will have mi'ila in them. But there's no mi'ila by shlamim. So therefore, if you use all the money, then you for sure have impinged or impeded on the ola. Or you've touched the ola. Once you touch the ola, there's now a chiyuv mi'ila from getting benefit from hekdesh, which is not true if what? It's not true if you only use a portion. If you only use a portion, we can say the money that he used belonged to the shlamim, and therefore he's not chayav mi'ila. Whatever's left over, that's for the ola. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you do mi'ila and all them, then if you use all the money, then for sure you have violated getting hana from the hekdesh. Whereas if you only use a portion of them, then you're not necessarily violating the mi'ila, because it could have been used the portion that belonged to the shlamim. Now, in this case, what do we see? We see that even though you have ma'ot stumim, you have unidentified money, which is going for both shlamim and ola, yet, what does it say in the end? You take the money, you divide it up, and you give half to an ola and half to a shlamim. Why does it all go to ola and neva? That's because the chatat was pulled out of it. Once the chatat is pulled out of it, then the halacha of the Moshe Mesinai does not apply anymore. And that's what the din of Rava is. And that we'll see in the second half of this braisa. Elo la'olati, if he separates out, again, the case with 300 shekel, he separates out 100 shekel, and he says, this 100 shekel is for my ola. Ashar, the shar nizirutai. And the remaining money, the other 200 shekel, will be for my other parts of my nizirut. What are the other parts of my nizirut? What's left over? The ola and the chatat. So the rest of the money, the under 200 shekel, will be used for both the ola and the chatat. In that case, the me'ola yavi'u ola, u'mo'alim behen, right? That the money that was designated for the ola, that will be used for an ola. And of course, if you get benefit from it, you will be mo'el. You'll have to pay back hekdesh and bring a karbon from benefiting for hekdesh. Why? Because an ola has a chiyuv mi'ila associated. Bashar, the remaining money, yiplu the nidava. The remaining money now will go as voluntary offerings on a, as a gift to the Mizbeach to be used for olot. Umolin b'hen, b'imolin b'miksatan. Again, over here, you will be moel by them. What do you have left in the pile over there? You have left in the pile, you have shlamim, and you have a chatat. So the shlamim, again, will not have a me'ila associated with it. There's no restriction. Well, there is a restriction against benefit from it, but you won't have to have a korban me'ila on the chiyuv me'ila if you get benefit from the shlamim, whereas by the chatat you will. So again, if you use all the money that was left over, then you definitely have touched the chatat, and you'll be chayiv me'ila. If you only use a portion of them, we're going to say that you only touch the portion associated with the shlamim and not the portion associated with the chatat, and therefore you won't have to bring a korban me'ila, and you won't be chayiv me'ila. But what do we see in this case? You see in this case, when the pool of money that was left over included a chatat in it, chatat me'urevet bo, in that case, then all the money goes to Alat Nedavah. We don't split the money up and say half of it should go towards the shlamim and half of it should go towards the chatat. No, we say the whole thing goes as an Alat Nedavah. So now Rabba, the statement of Rabba, he's the second Amora, now also narrowed down the application of the law of the Moshe Mitzrayim. Ravashi narrowed it down by saying what's the definition of stumim and mefurashim? What's the definition of undesignated money versus designated money? And Ravashi expanded the definition of mefurashim, what's considered designated money. He greatly expanded it. Now Rava narrowed the application the other way around, because saying that the only time it's called ma'ot stumim is when chatat mu'revet bo, when there's part of the money that's undesignated also includes a chatat. But if there's no chatat included in the undesignated money, then the money goes for each korban it was designated for, and not all to Alat Nidava. Right, now we move on to our third Amora, and that's Amar of Nachman. Amar of Nachman, Had Amri Behe Mahari Kimufureshet, that which we said, again, now this Gemara is somewhat difficult, both from the reading, the language is difficult, and also in how to interpret the Gemara is difficult. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to read the Gemara according to the Mefarish over here, because he reads it in the most simple manner, and then we'll deal with the other issues. It actually continues in tomorrow's daf, and the questions that are asked on this will depend on how we explain the Gemara today. So we'll start with the Mefarish, which is the simplest explanation, and then we'll move on to the Tosfos, and the Rosh will bring alternative explanations here. So Amar Rav Nachman, Hadamri Behemari Kmufreshet, when we say that animals are considered, when you separate out animals, they're considered as if they're designated Lo Shanuela Tmima. When do I mean that it's, that's when they are animals that are Ro'ui to go on the Mizbeach, but they're also Ro'ui to be brought for the Nazir. What does that mean? You have three carbonot that are brought for the Nazir, and you can actually identify which belongs to which. Why? Because you have a Ola, a Shlamim, and you have a Chatat. So guess what? An Ola only comes from males. That's number one. Number two is the Shlamim only comes from an Ayol Ben Shteshanim. It only comes from an Ayol that is 2 years old. And the Chatat can come from an Nekeva. So therefore, you know, if you have animals that are sitting out here, you have a female seira, we know that belongs to the chatat. We have a male, that probably belongs to the ola. And then you had an aisle bench station, I mean, that belongs to the shlamim. So you could actually have three animals here. When do we consider the animals to be mufreshet? That's when they are animals that are roi to be brought in mizbech. They are ready to be brought in mizbech, and they are clearly identifiable as being the animals which will belong to which. You have a set of three animals, and if I give out to these three animals, you know that this definitely was for the ola, this was for the shlamim, this was the chatat, because of the either the gender or the age of the animal. So that's considered mifreshet. Lo shana el tmima, aval balat mum harei kustuma. That a balat mum, an animal that has a mum in it, what do you do with an animal that has a mum in it? An animal that has a mum in it, you redeem it, and then the money, right, is used for, to buy additional karbanot. So when you use that money to buy additional karbanot, that is considered like ma'ot stumim. That's the equivalent of currency. So therefore, aval nasko, if you're talking about, you know, bullion, if you're talking about the actual metal, then that's not the case. So what is ma'ot stumim, according to Mefarish right now? Ma'ot stumim, what the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim talked about was money, right? That was unidentified or undesignated. So when you have animals that are clearly designated for the karban, and they're obviously designated, why are they obviously designated? Because you have three animals here that clearly belong to the Nazir. One of them is going to go for the shlamim, one for the ola, and one for the chatat. So it's clear which one belongs to which. Therefore, we know which is the karbanot. But if you have balat mum, if you have karbanot that are, right, have blemishes in them, and therefore they're clearly not going to be brought on the mizbeach, if that's the case, then we know what that they are equivalent of money. Ah, if we have money, those are considered stumim. But what is considered currency? So there's, we have two options here. Either actual currency is considered money, mo stumim, or the other possibility is these animals that have blemishes in that are going to be exchanged. They're going to be poded right away, they'll be available for currency. But if you're talking about the metal itself, like silver or metal, that's not considered to be currency. People don't transact, don't use that to transact with it. Since they don't transact with that money, therefore, it's not considered like money or ma'ot stumim. So that's the case by that's the case by Naska. No, Rav Nachman Yitzchak came and expanded and said, "Afilu Naska, even bullion, even the metal is considered like currency because people trade or exchange for it. But so arshel karot, if you're talking about a pile of beams, right? If you're talking about a pile of beams, then those are not considered to be currency because nobody. If you have to sell those beams, you have to find a buyer and then you have to get the money afterwards. So wait, the first one's the Gemara here." We want Rav Nachman is trying to narrow the definition of what's considered ma'ot stumim. What is considered money? Meaning, what is considered undesignated money? In the end, he says, what is undesignated money? Undesignated money has to be money. And what is money? So Rav Nachman says money is either currency or animals that are balei mumim. The second possibility, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, even bullion is considered like currency because people transact with it. But if you're dealing with produce or commercial items like beams for building, those are not considered money because you have to sell those and then get money from them. They're not considered the equivalent of money. So then, according to this, we'll have three Amoraim who went ahead and narrowed the definition of when the Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai applies. According to the first one, Rav Ashi, he narrowed it down. How did he narrow it down? He says that what's considered mufurash is much more expansive than we thought before. That which is considered mufurash is not even if you just specify the animals, but even if you, right, even if you say the chobati in one case, or even if you say these are from my three animals. Then Rava came along and said that the only time the Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai applies is when it has a chatat mu'urevet, if there's an obligation to bring a chatat that's included in it. So then that will be also included in this, then they will be under the Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. But if there's no chatat mu'urevet, even though you have multiple korbanot that are mixed up here, if there's no chatat here, then those are not considered to be under the Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And the last narrowing came from Rav Nachman, says that when we talk about ma'ot stumim, the Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai talked about currency that was undesignated or money that's undesignated. What is money that is undesignated? That is only currency, or behemoth balei mumim, and Rav Nachman has expanded even to include bullion, that, but not commercial merchandise that is used out there. So that's the way the Mefaris explains it. There's going to be Gemara's going to ask a question on this tomorrow. What I will do here now is point out that Tosos has an issue with the Gemara, and therefore he reads the Gemara differently. And what's the issue with the Gemara? Is that actually, tomorrow, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says in the Mishnah that if you bring three behemoths, and each one is ra'oi to be brought on the Mizbeach, right, if each one of them is clearly, one is the Shlamim, one's the Chatat, one's the Olah, then we bring them as the Shlamim, Chatat, and Olah. So then, based on that, what's the Chiddush over here of Rav Nachman, right? What's the Chiddush of Rav Huna over here? That Rav Huna says it only applies to Behemoth, that it's Mimot. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel says this, and guess what? Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually quoted from a Mishnah later on in Nazir. So why would it be that Rav Huna over here and Rav Nachman are discussing a case that is so obvious in the Mishnah later on in Nazir? We usually say when an Amora is coming to speak, they're trying to say something different or more than the Mishnah said. So based on that, Tosfos goes out of way to explain when our behemoths, mimoth here are actual animals that are roi to go on the Mizbeach, but they're the wrong animals for a Nazir. So now we have different types of animals. We'll have animals that are roi to add on the Mizbeach, and then we'll have other animals that are not roi to be. They're balei mumim. They have blemishes in them. Because they have blemishes in them, therefore they're not roi to go on the Mizbeach. So based on this, why is there a difference? Why is it the case where I have animals that are roi to add on the Mizbeach, yet they're not balei mumim, and those animals will be considered mifurashim, because over here you have three animals that are not a ro'oi to be brought from Neder Nezirut. You have to exchange these animals anyway. But the animals that you have here are considered to be balei mumim. If you're exchanging them for money, then they are considered to be equivalent to money or ma'ot stumim. So Tosfos explains it here. What's the difference? The difference is how it becomes money. Is the money immediately available, or is there a delay in the money being available? That which is considered currency is when it's immediately available for you to be used. So when you're talking about an animal that has a blemish in it, when you're makdish such an animal, that animal can be redeemed right away. Immediately you can redeem it, and that money is available to buy karbanot with it. Whereas if you are maktish animals, for instance here, you take three cows that you're maktish toward your nesibut, those cows cannot be used for your karbanot nazir. On the other hand, they cannot be redeemed right away. Why can't they be redeemed right away? Because they don't have a mum in them. They are topes, what's called kedushas aguf. You're makdish them, they could have gone to Mizbech, so they become kodesh, kedushas aguf. Therefore, you have to now wait till they get a mum in them, and once they get a mum in them, right, then you can exchange them and be poda them for other animals. So in this, that's the understanding here. How immediate is this currency available to you? How immediate is this currency available to you? So you have three possibilities, or possibilities down the Gemara now. So Rav Huna says, when it comes to animals that have a blemish in them, the money is immediately available, because you can sell those right away, and they're money good right away. Whereas when you're talking about animals that are tmimim, that are whole, unblemished animals, in that instance, you have to wait until those animals get a mum in them, get a blemish in them, then sell them. So there's a delay, and that's not considered immediate or ready available currency. Now if you go down the list, we say, okay, that's true. What somebody says that even even in a case of the Bali Mumim, that's considered Kistuma, but Naska, bullion is not considered currency. Why? Because bullion is not traded openly. It's not considered a ready available currency. The Rav Nachman Yisrael says, no, Naska is also available. People trade that, use it as a currency. About social karot, when you're talking about merchandise, people don't use that as currency. So the question at hand is, what is considered currency? And the definition of currency is, how immediately is it available for you to use? And that's what the Moraim here are discussing, about the immediacy of this produce or this item to be used as currency. Is it a tradable, usable item immediately? And that's what they're discussing along the way. When is it considered maltzumim? When it's considered money is when it's considered currency. What's the definition of currency? The definition of currency is something you can use immediately, or is money good immediately. So that's the way Tosus is going to explain it. Tosus later on says, oh, what's the problem with waiting? Shia. Why are we worried about Shia? So this might only be, the Rush says, this is only an issue for Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, that most money is the only thing you can have. What about Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish said, we learned that from the Pasuk. So how does Reish Lakish differentiate between money, good currency right away, versus stuff that is delayed? So that's where it says that a delay, in the delay period, you might actually have to find what you want the money to come. If the money is good right away to be used, then we say that the money is good to use for karbanot immediately. If it's usable for karbanot immediately, you're not going to define what the money is. Whereas if the money stays with you for a while, or the product stays with you for a while, then you might come to define what it is. If you have three rods of metal sitting there, you might say, hey, you know what, each of these rods is for one of my animals. If you have three boards sitting here, you'll say, each one of these boards, and when I sell it, I'll go and buy an animal with each of these boards. And therefore, the delay opens up the possibility that you might have designated more likely that you've designated for a karban. So the Rush says that's an explanation of Reish Lakish. Tosus over here brings that even as an explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to see tomorrow that Tosus rejects that pshat and says that it's a docha gadol. It's a very, very difficult pshat to uphold, and everybody does not uphold the pshat. Alright, we're going to stop here, and the question tomorrow in the Gemara is going to be with regards to a question of Rav Chisda, and we have to deal with it based on how the Rishonim learned today.